Chapter 3. Most people will be happy if they have a quiet life and plenty to eat, said the soldier. If the Martians give them somewhere to sleep at night and good food, they won't fight back. Then, when the Martians are hungry, they'll pick up a human to feed. No, I said. You know it's true, he said. I realized that although I was an educated man, and he was a simple soldier, he understood the situation better than I did. What are you going to do? I asked. I'm going to live under the ground, and I'll be free, he replied. We'll get good strong men and women, and have good strong children for the future. The weak and the fat can die. We won't steal from the Martians, and they won't chase us because they'll think we're like rats. And one day we can steal a heat ray and shoot everything we see. We talked like this until morning, and then we went to the house where he had been hiding, and he showed me his tunnel. It was only 10 meters long, and I realized his dreams would never come true. I helped him with his tunnel for a while, but the soldier did not want to do any more work that day. So we ate a good meal, smoked cigars, and played cards. It was strange to have such a pleasant evening when the world was being defeated by Martians. The next morning, I left the soldier to walk to London. I passed bodies on the road, and I noticed the dying red weeds everywhere. But when there were no bodies, the closed shops seemed like a normal Sunday. When I reached the centre of London, I heard a noise. Allah, Allah, Allah! It didn't stop. Wherever I walked, I heard the sound, sometimes quiet and sometimes loud. I followed it. I felt alone. I found food and continued my lonely walk until, in a park, I found the creature that was making the noise. It was a Martian. It was not moving, but just crying out, Allah, Allah, Allah. But why? I left it and walked until I came to a fallen house across the road, and I started to climb over it, but then I noticed it was a Martian machine. Why was it lying across the road like this? Then I saw another one. It was standing, completely still and silent. I walked across a bridge, and as I came to the other side, the sound, Allah, 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 suddenly stopped. Night was coming. There was no sound. Nothing moved. London was dead. I didn't want to be in the city. I saw another Martian, tall and not moving. I crawled under a bush and slept until the first light. I wanted to die, and I realized I didn't need to kill myself. I walked towards the Martian in the park, but then I noticed a crowd of black birds around the top of the machine. I ran towards it. Soon I was close enough to see brown pieces falling from the Martian's head, and the birds were eating it. The Martian was dead. I climbed up to the side of a crater and looked down. There was a huge space filled with machines, and the dead Martians were lying on the ground between the machines. They had been killed by the same disease that had killed the red weeds. We humans have been fighting viruses since the beginning of time, but these creatures had not, and their bodies had no defense. I looked down the hill at the Martian that had died in the night while crying to its friends, and I saw dogs and birds moving in to eat the bodies. The usual smoke of London had disappeared with the people, and it was beautiful and clean. I thought of the people coming back, of life returning to the city, and I thought of my wife and the hope that we could return to our old life. Tears ran down my face. I remember clearly everything from that day, but nothing of the next 3 days. Afterwards, I learnt that I was not the first to discover we were free of the Martians, and that news was already travelling round the world that we were free. Some kind people found me near Trafalgar Square. I was mad and singing, "The Last Man Alive!" But they took me home and gave me food and a bed. When I began to get better, they told me what had happened in Leatherhead. A Martian had been there, and it had destroyed the town and everyone in it. I was desperate, but after a few more days, I decided to go back to my house in Woking. The streets were already returning to normal, but the people still looked hungry and dirty. I found a place on a free train, and we passed through the countryside, which still showed signs of the Martians and the red weeds. I walked from the station towards my house with a heavy heart, and I passed the skeleton of the horse and cart I had crashed on the night of the storm. I stood looking at it in the sunshine. When I reached my house, I saw that the front door was broken. I went in and upstairs to my study. Nothing had moved. The window was open from the time I had spoken to the soldier in my garden. My work was on the table. I came down to the kitchen and saw the plates and cups from our last meal. I realized that the small hope I had was stupid. Then I heard a voice. "There is nobody here." I turned. The garden door opened, and my wife and cousin stood in the doorway. She raised her hand and cried out. "I came," she said. "I knew, I knew." And I stepped forward and caught her in my arms.